Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's happening there, go folks? It's your man Beach Bum Gun live on the off ramp this June 25th, 2013. 11 PM Eastern. We're still going. It's been about 4 months now. Yeah, we start have this stuff having anniversary parties and all that good stuff. You got something to say, you want something to get off your chest, of course. This is a show for the people, by the people. You want to talk about anything, feel free to call in 646-915-8680. Missed y'all last night. Couldn't get on last night. A lot going on in your boy Beach of Armageddon life, yo. Pregnancy is imminent. Imminent. Like wife about to bust one of these days. Not due to the 5th, so in theory, still got about 12 days? 12 days left, so not too close, but, I mean, 12 days, I mean, shit, that's about as close as you can get. Anniversary in 5 days? 1 year, been married, wow. Never thought it'd happen. Didn't think I'd get married. As much as I love family, didn't think it. Woman trapped me. Must have been drugs. Mr. Righteous, what's popping, sir?
What's going on?
Not much, not much. Ain't rapped to you in a while. Lots been going on here on the off-ramp. Didn't be able to get on last night, so first things first, Miami Heat won the championship. What you think?
Hell of a win. Great game, though. Definitely a great game. Best series I've ever seen in a minute.
Nah, I was thinking about that. Is it really the best series? Because game one was amazing. Tony Parker hit that off-bound shot after LeBron hit it. Amazing. Games 2, 3, 4, and 5 were blowouts. Like game 6 and 7 were.
But I'm talking in terms of the swing. Like nobody won back to back. It was like I win one, you win one type thing. Never seen nothing like that in a while. Usually people win like two and then two back to back, and then somebody's got to win like 3 straight or something like that. I ain't never seen a series where they were going back and forth, 1-1, 1-1, 1-1.
Yeah, it was definitely a very great series. I mean, like you said, no one won back-to-back until the last two games of the series. When Miami won Game 6 and Game 7. I mean, it was just
yeah.
It was that close. What a shot by Ray Allen. Man, Jesus, Shuttlesworth. Good night. Game 6. You're down 5 under 20 seconds, and you hit the 3 to tie it up. Woo!
Heck yeah! How about the idiot fans that left and wanted to come back in?
Oh man! Oh man, that's rough. And did you see him try to bang on the window?
Trying to get back in. Yeah. That's what you get. You shouldn't have left.
I will say I felt like Chris Bosh was wrong because Chris Bosh came out and said to the fans that left, don't come back for game 7. You can't act like that. You know what I mean? Like if the fans left, they obviously made a mistake. You can't tell them not to come back. What is he thinking about? Those are the people that pay his salary.
Good. Don't break your ass back. You ain't got no faith in us. You just want to roll out like that.
Nobody had faith in them. They brought the championship trophy out. It was damn positive for 20 seconds. Though nobody had faith. Though nobody believed they was going to win until Rayon hit that shot.
Right.
But you can't blame people for leaving.
Right.
They said they did a statistic that 98.6% of the time, the
right.
team that's up 520 seconds will win. 98.6%.
Right.
Man, what an amazing game.
Yeah, it was a great series, though.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying I enjoyed it, man. It was a great series, you know, a little chippy here and there. First time I've ever seen Tim Duncan show any type of emotion to the point where he's slamming the floor. Like, usually his most emotion he'll show, he'll like open his eyes real wide or something like that. But other than that, like, the first time I ever seen him get really pissed off and slap the floor, though, I've never seen that out of Tim Duncan, yo.
Yeah, he's had a bad year, yo. You think that what, as bad of a season as you have, for Tim Duncan standards, game 6 and
right.
7 in the finals, he mm-hmm. balls out.
Mm-hmm.
Take his same bad year on him, and he can't hit a layup. And his wife is
right.
divorcing him. That's fucked up.
Yeah. Yo, but what was that? Game six, he had, what, 30 points in the first half? And then he scored nothing
yeah.
in the second half? He was yeah. beating, yo.
I mean, Miami did the right thing, man. He was getting beat by a three-pointer. The three-pointer is just momentum swings. Like, when somebody,
right.
if you're doing good and somebody hits a couple trade balls,
right.
it just kills you emotionally. So I agree with Spoelstra is doing. Spoelstra was saying we were going around San Antonio, hit a couple threes, and it just take the life out of us. So
right.
let Tim Duncan hit two-pointers, and he's going to have to beat us. And you know what? Jimmy came out there and gave him 30 in the first half. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yo,
He's not a power forward, though.
Huh?
He's not a power forward, though. He's a center.
I mean, there's no true centers in the league like that anymore anyway. Most of these dudes is power forwards. They just play center because there ain't no true center out there.
Tim Duncan's a center. Kevin Garnett's a center.
They got rid of that category for the All-Star game. And there's no more center position. It's just power forward or forward or small forward. They got rid of that whole center position. Because there's no true center in the league anymore. There's no true one true center.
Roy Hibbert's a true center.
I mean, he's like one of out of how many? Not many. I mean, Kendrick Perkins is like the smallest center out there. I mean.
Yeah, he just looks retarded, yo.
Huh?
Kendrick Perkins looks like he's got Down syndrome. I don't want to talk bad about him, man. I don't know.
Healthy, bro.
Huh?
Yeah, but there's no true like you can actually put a five out there and you actually have a true big man besides Roy Hibbert, like you know how you had the Shaqs, you had the big boy, you had the Dennis Rodman, what's the damn boy named? Amarell. You had the Amarell type dudes, man. You had the big dudes, big boys, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar type centers, man. You don't have the type dudes no more because all these dudes are so versatile. That they can play multiple positions.
Yeah, it's definitely center is definitely a dying position. Whoever gets a great center is gonna. That's why in the end is gonna be good in the future, yo, because they have a center. Nobody else got one.
Yeah. If he develops his game a little bit more too, I mean he can definitely be unstoppable. He just got to develop a couple of things. He can shoot free throws, which is great. Most centers can't shoot no damn free throws. But he can shoot some free throws. Well, Tim Duncan's pretty good with his straight line shot.
Yeah.
That doesn't look like he's already flying to the backboard. He'll bounce off.
No. Yeah, it do look terrible. So what you think about Kevin Durant signing with Roc Nation? Hove is in the center. Some type of brag like Hove.
you know, you got. I mean, I guess it is what it is. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. If, I don't know. It's kind of complicated with all that because I don't know if people are just signing with him because of who he is, or is what his business about is what they really signing with. Nobody's really came out and said why they were signing with him. You know what I'm saying? Nobody's ever came out and said, oh, we signed with him because of this, because of that. Nobody's actually saying what they signed with him for. It's just like, okay, I'm signing. I'm leaving this dude to sign with this dude. Is it, you know what I'm saying? Is it smart business? Is he teaching them smart business? Is, you know what I'm saying? How is he running this thing? Like, why is everybody leaving? You know what I'm saying? I mean, even his own boy ain't really leaving to come be with him. So, I don't know, man. It's just weird. I mean, I guess it's okay, but nobody's saying why they leaving their current situations to be with this dude, yo.
You know why? Because it's Jay-Z. He's probably starting his own chapter of the Illuminati. He's probably starting a black Illuminati. I mean, you're right. The guy has no experience, but he's a hell of a marketing genius. You know, like, he's got everybody's hyped up about his album because of a commercial, which doesn't really tell you anything about the album.
Mm.
Not to mention, I think the beats sound whack. But I'm still anxious to hear it because, you know, Jay's a Hall of Famer, you know what I mean? He puts out 9 times out of 10, he puts out quality. So I definitely want to cop it. But they're signing with him because he's Jay-Z. He looks like Jay-Z on the surface from what we see. Looks like the coolest rich motherfucker that you'd ever meet. He looked like you could sit down with him. Once you get over the starstruckness, you crack some jokes and have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the boy's got charisma out of this world. I mean, let's be real. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest. No homo. Jay-Z's an ugly dude. He pulled Beyonce. And it ain't about money, because she got her own money.
Mm-hmm.
So the kid is cool as a mug. He's got a lot of game. I mean, I know why Skylar Diggins signed with him, because she's a chick. She plays for WNBA. That's her best opportunity. But Kevin Durant, one of the best in the league, you know he signed with him just because he wants to be on a rap album or something.
It's possible. But that's the thing, like, what are the motives, you know what I'm saying? Like, what are the motives, like? That's the only thing that, like I said, is it because he's talking good business sense, or is people just signing him just because he's Jay-Z? They signed him just because he's Jay-Z. I mean, they better be looking closely at their contracts because he could be raping them.
I think the people, I mean, I don't know. I think it's all for marketing. I mean, I think Jay's a... I think he presents himself as a hell of a marketer. I mean, he's selling an album. I mean, think about it. Like, Kanye West's album that dropped, and I want to get on a music topic in a moment. Kanye West's album dropped. No single. He only performed 2 tracks that you ever heard on Saturday Night Live.
Yep.
And he's projected to sell, you know, something like $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 in sales. Jay-Z, no single. He just released the lyrics of one of the songs today. You haven't heard anything except for these little whack beats that they play on these long-ass commercials. And he already made a deal with Nokia to sell 1 million albums. Like, that's just genius. Like, people, 1 million people are going to get the album for free, basically because Nokia bought 1 million copies
Samsung.
Samsung. Well, I keep saying Nokia. I think I'm playing the game Snake. My bad. So Samsung basically bought 1 million of Jay-Z's albums and said that we're going to let all these people have them, quote unquote, for free, who download the app. So basically, he sold a million copies of his album out the gate with no single. And some wag-ass beats on a commercial. That's marketing genius. Now, it also has to deal with, you know what I mean, what his previous works are. I mean, we all know Jay-Z, great artist.
Mm-hmm. Kid, like, coming out the gate, certified platinum.
Right, you know what I mean? That joint could be whack, yo. But yeah. He sold a mill already. I mean, it's just Morgan savvy.
Yeah, I like those beats, yo. Them beats will sound nice on the commercial, yo.
It sound like too electronic. Like the first beat on Kanye West's album, yeah, that joint is dripping whack juice, yo.
Yeah, the first beat was terrible.
It just felt like Tron, you know. I felt like I was watching Tron, you know. I felt like I was high of ecstasy with a bunch of white folks in college. Shout out to Towson University. And I felt like I was at a rave, you know. I felt like I was at a rave where some drunk white guy got the mic and they just let him go.
Stupid, yo. But yeah, man. Yeah, I don't know, man. But they said that's the new wave of doing things. That's gonna be him and Kanye, then they already start something crazy where you're putting out an album without even having no promotion. No singles, no nothing. Just throw it out there.
Well, when you have that type of cash, yeah, you can do that. You know what I mean? Like, Well, I would have never, as much as I love ASAP Rocky's album, if he'd have dropped the album and said, I'm not putting out a single, I wouldn't have bought that shit. Matter of fact, I didn't even buy ASAP Rocky's album until after I downloaded it and already heard it. I did the same thing with J. Cole, the same thing with Kanye, and same thing with Wale. I was ready to call him Wally. Like, in today's age, if I'm going to spend $10, it better be good. It better be worth $10. J. Cole's album is definitely worth it.
Yeah.
I didn't think Kanye's was worth it, but my wife wanted it. She's pregnant, so she got it. And Wale's album is worth it.
Yeah, that J. Cole joint is nice, yo. He was on the Breakfast Club talking about that joint, too, yo.
Say that again?
I said he was on the Breakfast Club talking about it, too. Talking about the album. J. Cole. Talking about his album. Yeah, talking about the whole Nas. Huh?
Not good.
He was on there talking about it. He was on the show talking about it.
I didn't say anything, yo.
And saying that, I thought you said something like, I thought you said he didn't like it or they didn't like it or something like that.
Oh, no, I didn't say a word, yeah.
But he was on there and they asked him about the whole Nas song and how he came up with that. So it was crazy, yo. What'd you just say?
Who, if you had to make a song about somebody you idolize, who would it be?
Idolize in all, like, not just anybody or just music or.
Just anybody. Because, like, I was thinking about that J. Cole Let Nas Down song. Like, at first I was like, yeah, that's pretty gay, yo. If I'm just an aspiring rapper, I ain't mentioning nobody else's name talking about I let them down because I'm such a big fan. But then if you think about it as a more mature man, you're like, yo, that's kind of cool that, you know what I mean, you can humble yourself to say, yeah, I was a huge fan of this kid, and when he heard that my song sucked, I was upset about it. So, like, I was thinking, like, who would I make a song about?
I don't know. I guess I'll make a diss track about my pops. He inspired me to do better than him. And that's about it. He explained the whole Nas story on the Breakfast Club, why he did the song or whatever the case may be. Because he was like, when he first came out with his first album, he said he got signed in 2009, and he was doing so much promotion on an album that he never knew no release date for. So he said he was doing thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of interviews and had no release date. But then when he put out that the workout song, it didn't do too well. But then he put the other joint out. What's that? What was the other joint that came out? Not the workout, but the other one that came out.
Yeah, the joint was Missing You.
Yeah, and then he said No ID had called him, and it was like, yo, Nas was, you know, talking about you, saying, you know, why'd you put that album? Why'd you put that song out? Why'd they let you put that song out? Something like that. I guess it wasn't a good song or something like that. Something happened. It wasn't good. Pretty much, it pretty much almost like killed his career with that song. So like, yeah, you know. So that's why he said he dedicated that. He did that song for Nas, because he let him down. You know. And he said that joint was like the defining moment for that, for his career. That song right there, whatever that was. So.
Yeah, I like J. Cole's first album. You know, I mean, I thought the Mr. Nice Watch was a reach for a single.
Mm-hmm.
The whole Jay-Z song. I thought that joint was whack. But I like the workout joint, yo.
Mm-hmm.
We got a good thing. A little West Coast flavor to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was better than Kanye's whack-ass workout song.
Kanye had a totally different audience than what this dude has. Kanye has like
he's not on his first album.
Kanye audience when he first came out, he was geared towards all that whole college stuff. This dude, J. Cole, he talks about college, but he didn't come out with, you know, the whole college, the whole college vibe. Kanye came out with like this whole college vibe, yo, when he first hit the scene.
J. Cole did the same thing. J. Cole was considered a backpack rapper. Him, Wale, Kendrick Lamar?
I don't think he was considered no backpack rapper. I don't think J. Cole was. I mean, even though they went to school, but I mean, he talks about, you know, him going to school, but his music was more so of his struggles of, you know, coming from where he came from to Kanye's was more so when he first came out talking about how he went to school and dropped out because he didn't like it and all the other stuff. And his struggles trying to get into the industry. And this dude's struggles is like him, you know, coming from where he came from and doing what he did just to get on. Like his whole purpose of coming to New York was his whole purpose of choosing the school in New York was just to get on with Jay. So, and then, and you heard the song he talked about it, saying he hated Jay because of the whole Tupac thing. And then he found love for him. And then when he talked to him again, he told him his stuff was whack. He said he hated him again. And then a year later, he got signed by him. So.
Yeah, that's a pretty funny story, though. But I want to tell him that, like, what are you doing hating rappers you don't know? Like, even, like, I'm a huge Biggie fan. Even during the whole Biggie Tupac thing, I didn't hate Tupac. I feel like I didn't know. It didn't bother me.
Right. Sure did. I mean, that was whatever that beef was, that was their beef for. Well, however all that nonsense transpired, that was their nonsense. Just as long as they had good music, man. That's all I was worried about. You know what I mean? But, you know, Pac, he had a lot of music, but he only had a few good songs. I mean, he didn't have many good songs.
I keep telling people, you know, Pac never had a classic album. I tell people that all the time, you know. And
he had classic singles.
Yo,
he had classic singles. But his full albums, whole albums, he had classic singles. But his whole album,
Yeah, Pac definitely had some amazing, amazing singles, some songs that will live on forever that were truly classic in the sense that you can play them and be like, yo, this was an amazing writer. But he's had some whack joints, yo. Like, he's had some terrible songs, yo. I was arguing with DJ C. Syver because she told me that Apocalypse Now was a classic album. And I was like, Brenda's Got a Baby song sucked. I was like, it was a good message. I was like, the song sucked. And so did the album.
I like Brenda's Got a Baby, but the whole CD was terrible, yo. I think I had it, and I was like, I can't listen to this. This is horrible, yo.
All Eyes on Me was his best joint, but that was a double disc. I've never seen whack joints on there too.
Yeah. He didn't have albums where you can listen to all the way through and be pissed off. Like, it was like almost to the point where you was listening. He's like, no, I'm just go to the joint I know and that I like, and you just kept listening to that one the whole time, yo.
So. I mean, I argue with anybody that Tupac never had a classic album. Any song that his boys was on, them outlaw dudes, I'm pretty sure mm-hmm. they're some real artists. I'm pretty sure they're some real killers. And I don't want no problems, but I feel like we're on the same level of rapping.
Outlaws. Terrible.
Like, even hit him up. Pac's verse was off the chain. Everybody knows verse was whack, yeah. That's why when people are like, yeah, it's one of the best diss songs of all time, I'm like, no, it's not. Ether's an amazing diss song. Takeover's amazing. You know, the second round knockout by Cannabis is amazing. You know, Hit 'Em Up isn't just because other people rap on it.
Right. Yeah, Pac
if it was just Pac, go ahead.
I say Pac just did that joint himself.
I know, because Pac's verse was just off the chain. Everybody else's verse was horrible.
Yeah, man, that joke was terrible, yo.
I still, and as bad as rough as Pac's verse was against Biggie on there, yo, I still say, maybe it's the Biggie fan in me, maybe I still say that second verse on Last Kiss Goodnight about Pac, man. That joke might be one of the hardest verses I've ever heard in my life, yo.
Hey, man. You know, some classic beats back there, man. But, you know, I mean, stuff now, it's just so watered down, man. It's just crazy. Yo, did you hear the Kendrick Lamar remix show?
Which one? The Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe?
Yeah. So, but hold up. What did he say about Trinidad James in that joint? Yo? He say it so fast, yo, I can't catch on to it, yo. Did he say Trinidad James sold more than him?
Nah, he said, I went Trinidad James in 1 week, and now I'm platinum and shit. So, he's saying he went gold in 1 week.
Oh, because Trinidad James said, all gold. Okay. All right, I got you. I thought he was dissing Trinidad James.
Nah, you know Kendrick don't want no problems with nobody, yo.
Well, it'd be child's play if he went at Trinidad James.
But Trinidad James is one of the dudes, yo. Like, he's not even a rapper, yo. Like, he'll really shoot you, yo, because he's got nothing else, yo.
He's a gimmick, man. He's a gimmick. Yo, man, he signed a deal. He's a gimmick, man. You know what? I'll take that deal. Yo, I will be a one-hit wonder and make so much money off that one hit, yo, and then I'm good, yo. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'll definitely be a one-hit wonder, yo. I'm good, yo. You can talk about me. One-hit wonder? I made millions off that one hit. Shut your mouth.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you get one hit, yo. You can tour for life and always make money.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because everybody gonna want you to come do that one song and then be out. Drop the mic.
Yeah.
Special chocolate. The walk on stage.
I bet you it's tough to live on the road, though.
Huh?
I bet you it's tough to live on the road. If you single, it's probably fun. But if you got a girl and a wife, it probably sucks being on the road.
Yeah, well, that's why their relationships is horrible, and most of them. That's why most of them, they say they want to deal with a regular person, but you know. And then a regular person be like, yeah, I'm cool with what you do. And then after a while, you never home, you never this, you never that. Well, you lying sack of shit.
Yeah, a lot of beating off in hotel washcloths. So.
man, please, they ain't doing that. They got their hotel room filled up, man. They got their roadies, yo.
Yeah, I would like to say I wouldn't cheat. I'd have to. That's what you got. Well, on that note, we will end this night, man. Good talking to you. We'll talk to you tomorrow night, bro.
Yes, sir. Peace.